Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 40th chapter. We read verses 21 through 31. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth. When he blows on them and they wither, the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name. By the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 16. If I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward, but not of my own will. I am still entrusted with a stewardship. What then is my reward? That in my preaching I may present the gospel free of charge, so as to not make full use of my right in the gospel. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. Those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside of the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, and we read verses 29 through 39. Immediately Jesus left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her. And she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. Rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place. There he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also. That is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your epistle lesson for today, where the Apostle Paul makes this statement about himself, which should also be a characteristic statement about all of us. Though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. This is our text. One of the kind of unhappy characteristics of the age we are living in is that facts don't always seem to matter. Do we wear the masks or don't we wear the masks? Now I'm not sure. Is it okay to go to the restaurants or not okay to go to the restaurants? Well, it all depends upon who you talk to. You notice there's just all kinds of information out there, but we don't seem able to really just focus on the science and the facts. Politics seems to get involved in everything. And that's not only true about this COVID crisis that we've been living through. It's true in a lot of different areas of life. Sometimes it seems that facts just don't matter to human beings. It's true also in areas of family, for instance. You know, the definition of what a family is certainly changing in our world today. But when you look at the facts, when you study what works in people's lives, and by working I'm saying what family structures bring about the most emotionally stable, successful, well-rounded individuals, and which kind of family structures, lifestyles, lead to the most mental instability, difficulties in life. The real facts are, and there's thousands of studies to back this up, is that the biblical model of family works, and other models simply don't. It's true. But in certain places in our culture today, you can't just talk about the facts. It's a fact also that most of us want to feel successful in life. I mean, don't you want to feel successful? I do. But because we are so entrapped by sin, we're blinded to the real path to greatness, to leadership, to success in life. Who wants to be a perpetual servant to everyone? That doesn't sound like the way to a successful, important life. But that's the model Paul was laying out for us in our epistle lesson. And of course, it's the model our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ laid down for us. For though I am free from all, I've made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. The weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. And I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. The life of a perpetual servant. That's the life to which God calls us. But you know, to our sinful nature, it doesn't feel appealing. And yet here again, if you look at the facts and you study what makes great leaders in the world, not the ones that are here today and gone tomorrow, not the ones that are flash in the pan, but the ones who are admired, respected, and beloved by the people who follow them. You might be surprised to learn that their single most unifying trait is not necessarily the fact that they're great speakers or even great organizers. There was a study done a number of years ago, and it looked not at what leaders thought made them great, but it was a mega study, if you will, on people talking about the leaders that they admired and followed. And what was very interesting about the study is it found that one of the greatest traits of great leaders was not their, if you will, leadership skills, but their servant skills. The authors of the study put it this way: one way that leaders connect with their followers is by understanding and attending to to their followers' needs. It turns out that what followers value most in a leader is the leader's ability to address their needs. How do you lead people? By serving them. Paul became a great apostle, beloved by all, but not by demanding obedience, not by having people bow at his feet, by becoming their servant. He became that way after coming to know Christ, because that is the God whom we serve. The God who has become Lord and Master of our lives is so because he is a God who himself is a servant. I think you all know that verse from the Gospel of John that Jesus Christ came not to be served, but to serve. Give himself as a ransom for many. Or verses like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. That is the nature of the God whom we worship, who indeed is the Lord of our lives, who indeed is our creator, our maker, and will one day come to judge the world. But he seeks to be Lord of our lives, not through beating us with a stick, not from commanding obedience, and if we fail to obey, sending down lightning bolts from heaven to make us cower into obedience. He comes to us in meekness, as a child whose first bed is a manger in a little town called Bethlehem, who grows up to preach and teach about the gospel, healing, encouraging, and ultimately taking upon himself the weight of all that we had done wrong, paying for it with his very own life, enduring rejection not just by man but by God himself, the Father. He hangs on the cross. Servant to all, even though he is God Almighty. Because his aim is not to be just our Lord in terms of obedience, but the Lord of our hearts, whom we serve not because we have to, but because we want to. Who find joy in not doing what we want, but in doing what he wants. Because we know that pleases him. And to please him becomes our heart's desire. This is who God made us to be. But the sinful heart, as we see in so many different areas of human existence, doesn't like to recognize the facts, even when they're staring us in the face. We would rather chart our own way and our own path, even though everything is saying to us, it won't work that way. Because that's not how God made you to work. But for those who come to know God as he truly is, who finally come to understand the Lord Almighty, the judge of heaven and earth, is the greatest servant of all. Because we know that about God, we put our faith and trust in him and make it our goal in life to please him. For those who are God's chosen servants, he promises to us a blessed and glorious heavenly life, but also blessings in this life. When we follow the design for which we were created to live in our families, and in the way we serve others in life. For though I am free from all, I've made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. God grant that throughout our days in life, as it will certainly be for all eternity in heaven, that we see ourselves as God sees us. He sees himself as a servant to all. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.